Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. This week I'm in the Valley and I'm sitting chatting to Jerome McFarland from Elastifile. Jerome, you are VP of Marketing for Elastifile. Can you give everybody a bit of information about yourself and a bit of background on the company?
No problem, Chris. Yep, I'm VP of Marketing at Elastifile and I'm pleased to be here chatting with you today. Elastifile provides a distributed scale-out file system that was designed for the cloud. And what we really do is we help enterprises leverage cloud resources in an efficient and effective way by providing them with cloud-native file storage.
Great. So Elastifile builds a scale-out NAS platform. Where did that come from? You know, what's the origin of the company? And just talk us through exactly what the product is that you offer.
Yeah, definitely. Elastifile was founded a few years back by some industry veterans with a lot of expertise in the space of virtualization, distributed scale-out systems, storage, as well as flash technology. And what they really saw was a need in the market for a software-defined file storage solution that was really built for the cloud and to support the enterprise journey to the cloud with all the requirements and challenges that the cloud brings, to address those in a way that made sense for the customers.
Okay, so is the product purely, you mentioned NVMe in that discussion, is it purely just NVMe?
No, it's not flash only. The solution can support HDD-based storage, and actually we can also tier data to object storage. So really we try to leverage all of the best storage components that are available in the cloud, whether it be flash, whether it be spinning disk, or whether it be an object storage layer, which of course would have spinning disk beneath it.
Okay, right. We'll get into the technical pieces in a moment. We'll do a bit more of a deep dive in a second. But why has the company come about? What were customers challenged with in this market that made Elastifile think that there was a need for a scale-out storage solution like this?
Yeah, what we really saw was that as more and more enterprises were looking towards the cloud for a variety of reasons, in a lot of cases to get more scalable compute or specialized services that are available in the cloud, they would reach what we consider to be kind of a second-order challenge, which would be the storage solution. The applications or the scripts or the workflows that they've been running on-prem that they want to either burst into the cloud or fully migrate into the cloud, in most cases, those things on-prem are interfacing with an enterprise file system under the covers. And so as they bring those things to the cloud, they need the same type of enterprise file system. They need the same types of interfaces like NFS, but now they're in the cloud, so they need that file system to be designed to leverage the advantages of the cloud, the scalability of the cloud, the elasticity of the cloud, and also to give you the type of serviceability and self-service, you know, easy management that you expect of the cloud.
Okay, you talk about cloud quite a lot. And when you say that, are you meaning, and it could be all of or any of these, are you meaning private, public, multi-cloud, hybrid cloud? How are you sort of fitting that model or those different models?
Yeah, when I say cloud, I'm primarily talking about the public cloud because Elastifile's focus is really helping enterprises leverage and expose all the benefits of the public cloud. We do also support hybrid cloud as well because that enterprise journey to leverage the cloud isn't in all cases going to be a wholesale evacuation to the cloud. In many cases, many customers want to have a hybrid model as well. So that's really what we mean by the cloud.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think the hybrid model seems to be quite popular. So having the ability to say, I'm keeping, for example, the majority of my data on-prem, but I might want to put a copy in the cloud or replicate this in some form, but not actually make that unidirectional. I still need a bit of bidirectional capability there. That seems to be being more and more popular with people. And we'll talk about the technology in a second, but I guess that's something that you are focused on as well.
Yeah, definitely. We want to give customers the flexibility to implement their workflows in the ways that make the most sense for them. So for some customers, they may want to replicate some data into the cloud and do more of a bursty type workflow where they do some scale-out analysis in the cloud for, you know, a finite period of time, and then they shut that down and they bring back the result or they get a yes-no type of answer. Other customers may want to do a full-scale, you know, SAP migration in the cloud, and they're doing everything in the cloud, and it's going to stay there. So we give them the flexibility to implement the hybrid models in the way that they want, or an all-cloud model in the way that they want.
Okay. And why would you say that this has been a challenge for the industry to develop? I mean, we've got a whole range of theoretically scale-out platforms. I won't talk about any particular vendors, but, you know, they exist out there. Why go down the route that you went down? What is it that was missing in the industry?
Yeah, I think it's really a matter of building the right tool for the right job. when you go to the cloud, you know, although at a high level, you could think of the cloud as being very similar to on-prem, and that, you know, to some degree, there's the concept of like a server, the equivalent being the cloud VM. But really, the environment of the cloud is very different than an on-prem type environment. And the advantages and benefits that are available in the cloud are very different than what's available on-premises. And so to really expose those benefits properly, you need to design a solution that's made for the cloud. While there are, and I also won't name any vendors, while there are many solutions that claim to be cloud-ready or cloud-like, when you scratch beneath the surface and you look at how they actually work and the restrictions that they place on availability, and on, you know, some of the functionality and on scalability, they're not really allowing the user to expose the full benefits of the cloud. So that's why we felt like we had to design a solution from scratch that was really made for the cloud.
Right. Okay. So cloud focused in terms of cloud features and functionality rather than particularly just taking an existing product and putting a wrapper around it and putting it in a cloud environment.
Exactly. We didn't want to just slap a cloud sticker on the package of something that was designed for on-prem. We wanted to actually make something that was built for the cloud so that it could really operate in the best way.
Good. Okay. Let's dive in a bit deeper then and talk about your solution. So first of all, what is it called? What is it? And how do customers actually consume it? Or how would they go out and start building an environment with it?
Yeah, so within the product of Elastifile, there's really three key components. The core of the solution and of everything is the Elastifile Cloud File System. That's our distributed scale-out file system that can run on-premises, it can run in the cloud, it can run across multiple clouds. Another key component of our solution is a technology or feature that we call ClearTier. And ClearTier really gives us connectivity between the file system layer and object storage. And we leverage that for a variety of specific functionalities, including tiering data between object and file, both, you know, during active access, as well as to store snapshots, which we put on the object layer to reduce cost. Another key component of our solution is called Cloud Connect. And Cloud Connect basically allows us to connect between two environments. So it lets you replicate data from any file system into object storage. And so that provides a path for customers who want to replicate data from their on-prem environments into the cloud, and then from there be able to extract that data out of object and do processing. So those three key components make up the solution: the core file system, ClearTier, and Cloud Connect.
Okay, so let's talk about the file system initially.
Sure.
How do customers go about deploying it? Is it multi-node? Is it sitting on their own hardware? Do they buy the hardware from you, or do they just buy the software solution from you?
Yep, so basically customers get the software from us. Elastifile is fully software defined. So I'll start with the cloud deployment model. So there's really three different ways that the customer can leverage Elastifile. One, they can do what we call a bring your own license model, where they would deploy their own and manage their own VMs in the cloud and just deploy the software. It's very similar to the way that you would use it on-prem, where you buy your own servers and you deploy the software, you manage it yourself. So that's one model. We also have a marketplace model where you would purchase the software or purchase the solution through Google Cloud Marketplace or through the Amazon Marketplace. Those are the two that we support today. And that in that model, we would give you certain predefined configurations that would allow you to build the file system to fit your performance and capacity requirements. The third model is the fully managed service, which we announced in December that we have this new fully managed service called Elastifile Cloud File Service that's going to be available on Google Cloud Platform. And in that model, the customer basically just specifies the capacity that they want, the region that they want to deploy in, and the performance that they want, which determines the cost tier that they're going to use. And then Elastifile does all of the infrastructure management. So the customer just gets a mount point, and we take care of the rest. So there's three different levels of, you could say, manageability, depending on the appetite of the customer for wanting to actually manage things themselves.
Okay, so you're on Google Cloud.
Yep.
Which is great. I mean, obviously, I think vendors will want to get across every cloud provider if they possibly can, but that obviously takes time. One of the things I thought was really interesting when I looked at how you were doing that deployment, and it hadn't necessarily come out to me as being really obvious until I thought about it, and I got a bit of an aha light bulb moment, and that was the fact that you're deploying on standard instances on those cloud platforms. So as long as that vendor, in this case Google, has deployed that type of instance in a particular region, you can roll out your solution.
Yes.
It's not like you actually have to wait for somebody to deploy custom hardware to support your back-end solution. You actually just deploy on the actual platform itself.
Exactly. And it's a great point. I'm glad you pointed that out. You know, today we support Google Cloud and Amazon in production, and we'll be adding Azure very soon. And you're right. we run on the native infrastructure that the cloud provider provides us. You know, we consider that part of what makes us cloud native. We don't require any proprietary hardware to be installed in any particular data center for a given cloud provider. So that means that when we roll out our solution, it's available in any zone, any region from day one, because it's fully software defined. There's no dependence on anything else. And it also allows us to leverage the advantages as, let's say, the persistent disks or the HDD-based storage that Google or AWS provides. As those storage components get faster or as they add capabilities, we can expose those advantages to the end customers much more quickly because we're leveraging those components that the provider provides themselves, the cloud provider provides, as opposed to relying on proprietary hardware.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting model because you're seeing some vendors that are putting hardware next to the cloud provider, some of them are working with the cloud provider, but actually, common sense says, wouldn't it be better if you could just deploy straight onto the infrastructure that's already there? Because, as you said, as that gets swapped and they bring out a new instance or something faster or something better, you just use it. And that's a huge benefit potentially over other solutions.
Exactly. Also, from a scalability perspective, I mean, when you start talking about physical hardware, you talk about a finite resource. When you start talking about a solution that's based on the virtualized hardware aggregated across all the infrastructure that the cloud provider has on the back end, now you're talking much more scalability. So there's a lot of benefits to it.
Yeah. So as an end user, I decide I want to build out an environment. You might build it for me in that managed environment. If I'm taking some responsibility, I guess I can just add more instances and that scales out the capacity and the performance. Is that the sort of the model that it would work?
Yeah, it depends on which model you use. If you use the marketplace model, then you could say, I want to add instances, add capacity, and you could do it that way. And you'd have a little bit more granular control over the type of instances that you're adding in that way. But if you use the managed service, you'd simply say, okay, I initially asked for 100 terabytes of storage. Now I want 150, so you just ask for your additional 50, and we'll just provide it to you, and you don't have to do anything.
So that gives me my base file system. Can I drive that via a command line or an API? And in that instance, what's the sort of operating model for
that? Yeah, we give you multiple models. So we have, you know, a fully functional UI where you can do everything through the UI. We support CLI as well, so a command line can do everything that you can do from the UI. And we also support full REST APIs. Okay. So for people who want to leverage automation, which of course is something very powerful to leverage in the cloud, whether it be Terraform or Ansible, et cetera, you can do pretty much anything using the APIs. And we have a lot of customers who do that, especially when you start talking about things like Kubernetes, where there's a lot of scalability and there can be a lot of complex interactions going on, both for resilience as well as for just features of functionality. That ability to connect into the APIs becomes very powerful.
Okay, there's our base layer, our data sitting there. Then you mentioned clear tier, which obviously is tiering data into an object store.
Yep.
So is that a static tiering? Is it a snapshot tiering? Is it an archive? How would a customer use that technology?
So today, the way that ClearTier works is basically we monitor the data that the customer is accessing, and we have policies on the back end. And depending on whether you're using the marketplace model or the BYOL model or the managed service, will determine how much control over the data tiering that the end user actually has. But we monitor the data, and we take the data that we consider to be cool, and we move that data into the object tier so that you're basically keeping your primary storage tier, which is going to be either SSD-based or HDD-based, depending on the configuration that you're using, so that you keep the more active data in that tier. And the whole idea is really to minimize the cost for the end user. A lot of our solution was designed with kind of the practical aspects in mind, and so leveraging object storage allows us to really give a very cost-effective solution while still maintaining the performance that the applications need.
Okay, and is that something that is a cloud-based object storage platform? Is it meant, so you wouldn't necessarily build like an on-premises ECFS cluster and an on-prem object store and connect the two?
You could. Functionally, that definitely works. There's no reason why you couldn't have an on-premises ECFS connecting to an object store that's also on-premises. But really, the core of our design and kind of the Lastifile's reason for being is to enable this move to the public cloud and the consumption of the public cloud resources. So everything is really designed more for the public cloud. Okay. And that's really where we place our focus.
Yeah, and I only ask that really because sometimes people might think that by designing it to use public cloud, they may have created some sort of lock-in. But obviously, that's not the case in this instance. It just happens to be that's the way that you want the platform to work.
Exactly. From a business perspective, we see the opportunity as being enabling customers in their journey to cloud. From a technical perspective, you know, we do the file system that we support, the ECFS, it can run on premises on bare metal, and we definitely support that because, again, we support those hybrid models. Clear tier tiering as well can work on premises, but we see the real opportunity in the market as being the journey to the cloud.
Okay. And then the third component we talked about?
Cloud Connect.
Cloud Connect.
So Cloud Connect is really our data mover. It provides customers with a way to get their data from on-prem into the cloud in an efficient way. Cloud Connect can basically take data from any on-premises NAS, we'll compress it, we'll dedupe it, we'll replicate the data into object storage. So if it was AWS, S3, if it was Google, GCS. And after the initial replication, if the customer wants to send more data over, we'll do a diff, and we'll only send the deltas. So it's an efficient way, and it's bi-directional as well, so data can come back if necessary. So just an efficient way for customers to move data, again, in these hybrid models, from point A to point B efficiently, and also to get data from an existing on-prem NAS into cost-effective object storage in the cloud, which we can then rehydrate when the customer wants to actually process it into the cloud into an Elastifile file system running natively in the cloud.
Right, so let's just make sure I got that. So I could, if I've got an existing NAS environment, use this technology to migrate my data into an Elastifile environment.
Exactly. The whole idea is we realize that as customers take the journey into the cloud, in a lot of cases, they have existing on-premises hardware that there's no reason for them to throw away. We don't require a customer to rip and replace everything and put Elastifile on-prem because they want to use Elastifile in the cloud. But still, there needs to be a way to get their data into the cloud. And so we provide this Cloud Connect capability so they can take data from their existing on-prem filer, they can put it into cheap and deep object storage in the cloud, it can sit there for as long as they want. That could be a simple backup or DR mechanism, putting that data into the cloud, leaving it on object storage, they can bring it back on-prem when they want, or when they're ready to process it, we can rehydrate that data in the cloud from object into Elastifile, and then they can process using whatever applications they're running in the cloud.
Do you think there's a bit of an issue in that part of the industry? I always think that that's always been a challenge for people. You see what you might call filer sprawl, where you see many, many devices being scattered about different organizations, and you end up with data you're not really sure about exactly what it was for, and you think, I don't want to delete it because it might belong to somebody. And in some respects, if you can consolidate that, at least get it in one place, you've got more chance of doing something with it, perhaps, than having it scattered about an organization. Do you see customers using your technology as a consolidation tool, as well as all the other things?
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that we see customers having interest in. Just in general, leveraging the cloud as kind of a data hub for whether it be multiple divisions or multiple remote sites. It's a great place to aggregate things for a variety of reasons. Like you mentioned, you know, you might want to do something with it. And we see people thinking about, you know, as they move forward, machine learning and taking data from multiple sites, maybe multiple teams, maybe it's, you know, doing something in the, let's say, semiconductor design space. Maybe you've got multiple components of a design or multiple modules that are going to get aggregated, and then you need to do a verification across the entire aggregated design. The cloud is a great place to collect all that stuff and then use the scale-out compute that's available in that environment to get the work done faster. So yeah, all of our components, the file system in the cloud to support those applications, Cloud Connect to move data, ClearTier to make sure that it's cost-effective in the cloud, they all kind of work together to help support that vision.
Okay, let's go on and talk a bit about the public cloud. And in some ways, we're seeing the public cloud changing the way that people are deploying technology. And one thing that it gives them access to is large amounts of cheap compute. And we've already mentioned that already, but you know, you see that as a sort of recurring theme that people are saying, well, cloud gives me compute, but how do I get my data there and how do I manage that data? So have you got some examples of where you're seeing customers solving problems with your technology, sometimes within the public cloud or using the benefits of the public cloud? And what sort of technologies are you seeing that happening?
Yeah, definitely. We see quite a bit of that across a wide range of industries. You know, one example would be the media and entertainment space. Where specifically for rendering and transcoding, the media companies, whether they're doing VFX or some other type of rendering or transformations, they basically need to get their jobs done more quickly or do more jobs in parallel. And for them, in a lot of cases, they're compute limited. And so the cloud is a great environment where they can get as much compute as they want. But then all those applications that are actually doing the jobs, they're expecting traditional file directory hierarchies, they're built that way. They're not going to be refactored anytime soon. And so you need a scalable, high-performance file system that can support the data intensive compute jobs that are going to be done in the cloud to accelerate those rendering processes. Semiconductor manufacturing is very similar, but now substitute a rendering job for a verification simulation to make sure that a chip design is working properly. So we see a lot of those use cases where cloud scale compute, whether it be CPU or GPU, is necessary or beneficial, and we provide the storage to support that.
And a lot of those environments are actually after very high performance file solutions. This isn't just a case of having a file system that you can run in the cloud, because the vendors already offer those. You know, Amazon have them, all the vendors have them. But the type of data you've just been talking about is actually after quite high performance, high profile data that might need high streaming, might need high parallelism, might need low latency. So you do need a very specific solution to fit those requirements.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things there. There's the performance element, which definitely you need a file system that can support that, that can support highly parallel access to give them the throughput and the IO that those applications need, which in a lot of cases have a lot of concurrency. You know, think about rendering, and you can have a massive render farm with lots of the different farm components rendering their own frames, and so that's a highly parallel access. But also, I think something that sometimes get overlooked is just the robustness of the file system, right? Having the locking and all those underlying mechanisms that people take for granted, having those things all work properly and be robust in the cloud while still having the distributed scale-out architecture, that's something that a lot of the off-the-shelf, especially some of the open-source solutions that people will often evaluate with and try, they realize that they can't support this more data-intensive enterprise-class interaction.
Yeah, that's hard, I think, for some people to get their head around, perhaps. And that's, there's a lot more to a distributed scale-out file system where you've got lots of concurrent access than just having lots of capacity on many nodes. You know, the actual specifics about how you implement that locking, as you say, become a real challenge to achieve, and they become ever harder the more you scale out.
Yep, exactly. There's a lot of IP that goes into a solution like this. And, you know, we're pretty proud that we're able to build something unique that's really built for the cloud and giving you that scalability and performance, but also giving you that enterprise class experience.
So let's talk about one area which everybody seems to have a solution for these days, and that's containers, Kubernetes, packaging of applications into microservices. I found a very funny one that when this first came to the market, that people said, we don't need persistent storage for containers. It's all ethereal, it's fine. We'll spin a container up, it'll use something, and then we'll shut it down, and we'll inject the data into it we need while we're using it, and then we'll be finished. I thought, well, I don't see that's really going to be the case, because across the enterprise for many, many years, we've been dependent on somewhere being the source of truth for our persistent data. I don't see any difference with Kubernetes and containers. So how are you seeing that side of things playing out in the market, especially with your technology?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we're all hearing the same things when Docker and Kubernetes were kind of in the earlier days about stateless apps and how everything would be, you know, ephemeral. But it hasn't really played out that way. What has played out is that the value of containerization and Kubernetes is definitely transformative, and people are rushing to take the best advantage of it. But what we've seen people doing a lot of is using containers and Kubernetes to package and scale traditional applications and traditional workflows, either just to migrate them from on-prem into the cloud and or to scale them within the cloud. And so when you take those traditional applications and workflows, behind the scenes, those things are expecting traditional NFS file stores. They're expecting to persist and ingest persistent data. And so they need a solution like Elastifile in the cloud to support that persistence layer and to do simple things like when a container fails and a new container spins up, to allow that container to continue and pick up where the other guy left off, you need to have persistent storage and shared persistent storage. And that's what we provide. So we see a lot of value and a lot of market momentum as persistent storage for Kubernetes.
That side of it interests me because I wrote something last year, perhaps. Was that a year before? It's been a while. But talking about how I really believe that when we move to the cloud and when we move towards microservices and containers and all the rest of it, that file would be the protocol. And simply because, if you imagine, you just give me a great example there, a container starts up, gets access to some data. If that was a block device connected to that container, somebody somewhere is now going to keep track of what block device was assigned. And now if you want to restart that, you're now either having to remember and reattach that block device somewhere else, or you could just put it in a shareable existing file system that already has the metadata and the hierarchy that describes the use of the data. Yeah. So file, without a doubt, as far as I'm concerned, is the protocol of choice in this instance for cloud and for containers.
Yep, I totally agree. And I think the market is also coming to that conclusion that file is really the de facto standard because of all the reasons that you mentioned. I mean, also just the intuitiveness of the file and directory hierarchical structure for human beings is much easier and able to be understood as opposed to something that's more abstracted like block storage. And so, yeah, I think file is here to stay. And now the momentum of file in the cloud is growing. And Elastifile is pretty happy to be able to help, you know, accelerate that and give customers what they need.
So we just talked about what are probably more modern uses of the technology around containers and so on. What about traditional apps? And customers must be looking at traditional applications as well. What are you seeing in that part of the industry?
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a lot of activity there as well. You know, we talked a little bit about kind of the performance benefits of the cloud, but there's also some transformative just manageability benefits. Just the pure benefit of being able to get away from managing complex on-premises IT infrastructure and allowing that to be managed in the cloud. And so for traditional applications like SAP, for example, we're seeing a lot of customers actually move towards a fully cloud implementation of, you know, SAP, whether it be for ERP, CRM, or a variety of different applications and use cases. And behind the scenes, just like with many other applications that we've mentioned, NFS file storage is a requirement to make everything fit together, make everything work properly. And so that's another area where we've seen a lot of advantage that we can provide to help customers with the migration of those types of traditional enterprise workloads into the public cloud.
Okay. And that side of it, I think, is quite interesting because at the end of the day, there will be a whole range and mix of technologies that are going to come from enterprise customers. They don't want to completely reinvent how they're using technology, and they're going to want at least some stuff that they feel comfortable using that they've got a comfort with having used before, but not necessarily in the way that they were using it before, but in a cloud-like way. So I can see that you can't just suddenly just say, right, we're not going to support any legacy. I shouldn't use the word legacy, perhaps, but you know, the historic enterprise applications, if you can't support those, then that's going to be a real problem for you because that's where the bulk of things are still sit.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of the battle between whether or not, or the philosophical debate between whether you should have a cloud-ready app or an app-ready cloud. And I think really the way things have been going is that you start with app-ready clouds because rewriting all the applications isn't really practical when you're looking at customers who want to leverage the benefits of the cloud now and in the near term. They don't want to wait until they themselves, or in many cases, a third party who actually creates the application rewrites something, you know, in a different way, which in a lot of cases isn't really necessary. So we definitely feel that you look at the space of the applications that customers are using today and they want to leverage the resources of the cloud. So our job is to enable them to do that without creating more work for the end customer and saying you now need to rewrite your application.
We talked a lot about the product as it is today. We talked a lot about the different components and how they plug together. And we can see that there's a progression from creating that consistent solid file system to giving people connectivity to object and tiering, and then obviously connectivity to move data around. Where do we go from here? What can we sort of see as your next steps for delivering, I don't know, maybe it's a more consistent view for customers across a wider range of technologies or integrating other platforms or features? What can we expect to see coming out?
Yep. Well, at Elastifile, we're always innovating, and so we've always got ideas for how to make the experience, you know, even better for our customers. You know, one of the things in that realm that I can mention is, you know, when you think about object storage, and we talked about the object tiering that we're doing, one of the things that we're thinking about as we move forward is allowing customers to actually consume that object data natively. So exposing more of an object front end, so allowing services that only speak object to be able to consume our objects, and that allows customers to do even more with the data in different formats. So those are some of the things that, you know, we're thinking about and that we have on our roadmap, but, you know, stay tuned and we'll continue to expose those as they get closer.
Okay. I find that one interesting because if you think about file systems are great because they give you locking, metadata, and all those great things. But there are certain times when you want to access content where those just aren't necessary. You know, you might be just doing tons of read activity to a set of data. So having that ability to not be strictly adhering to a file protocol and coming in via object, actually, that's potentially a significant benefit in terms of performance or operability for an organization. So having the two, I think, together seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah. We really kind of back to the right tool for the right job. We want to give customers the flexibility to do the things that make the most sense in the scenarios, you know, where they're advantageous.
Okay, so let's hope everybody's really enthused and really enjoyed the conversation and want to find out a bit more. First of all, where can they find out more about the product and the platform?
Yep, so they can visit our website to learn more, www.elastifile.com, E-L-A-S-T-I-F-I-L-E.com, to find out more. They can play with the product in just a few clicks. You can spin us up in Google Cloud Marketplace or the Amazon Marketplace. Right now, we're currently in the middle of our early access program for our fully managed service on Google Cloud. That's going to be available in open access at the end of March. So customers can then basically just specify the capacity that they want, the performance that they want, and they're going to get an NFS mount point, and they're off to the races in just a few clicks. So there's a lot of different ways. Another simple way for customers to play with Elastifile is to try us on QuickLabs. So using QuickLabs, you can basically, as an example, you can do a quick rendering project that just takes a few minutes. You go to QuickLabs, and by the end of the guided tour, you will have rendered some frames using the Blender rendering application. So there are a lot of different ways to try Elastifile.
Okay. So what about the community side of things? Do you run a Slack channel for the technology or other sort of things where people can sort of get involved in a bit more detail?
Yeah, Elastifile maintains several different lines of communication with our customers through our support team and our customer success teams. Slack is an example of that. So, customers who have questions, we can create Slack channels and allow customers to basically have pretty much real-time communication with us. We try to stay really close to ensure that our customers are all maintaining, are all receiving the best experience at all times.
Wonderful. Well, thanks for joining me today, Jerome. Really appreciate it. Look forward to finding out what's coming in the future when you're in a position to be able to announce it, and we'll catch up then.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, Chris. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to Storage Unpacked. For show notes and more, subscribe at storageunpacked.com, follow us on Twitter at Storage Unpacked, or join our LinkedIn group by searching for Storage Unpacked Podcast. You can find us on all good podcatchers, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Thanks for listening.